The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan are both now in the Hall of Fame. Along with Kevin Garnett, they are three of the men's professional basketball players to be inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. But more importantly, they represent two players. One, extremely appreciated. And one, incredibly underestimated. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can always join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up on today's show, the NFL has released its all-decade team from 2010 to 2019. The two best quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers, the defensive players that were the best of the last decade. Plus, I watched WrestleMania, and I have a review. I have several thoughts. I had several different emotional experiences watching on Sunday night as my youngest son, the 8-year-old, both almost was moved to tears and visceral yells of dominance over the vanquished. He didn't just watch it, he felt it. And I have some things that I think about it that I'm going to share with you coming up on today's show. Plus, what's the best and what was the worst nomination for lawyer movie of our time? Each of the guys on the show, Nuno, Pat, Mike A., Bubba, and myself nominated a movie that was homework over the weekend. We'll start in about 45 minutes with who failed the test, who, maybe again, nominated the worst movie that we had to watch over the weekend. But we start in basketball, and we start with the Hall of Fame. The three men's professional basketball players inducted into the Hall of Fame will be Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett. Charles Barkley, TNT's basketball analyst, was on Get Up this morning, and he talked both about Kobe and Duncan and what he thought of both of those players.
I think Michael is the greatest I've ever seen and played against. But the only guy I said, I've always said this, Kobe Bryant is the closest I've ever seen. I didn't get to play against Kareem in his prime or Wilt or Bill Russell or LeBron. But I'm telling you, Kobe Bryant's the best player I've ever seen other than Michael Jordan. Tim Duncan, no disrespect to Kevin McHale, is the greatest power forward ever.
What we're looking at here when it comes to Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan is one of the most praised and one of the least praised among the great players of our time. First, Chuck says that Kobe Bryant's the closest to Michael Jordan, the best player outside of Michael Jordan that he's ever seen or played against. He referenced in that both Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and LeBron James. The truth is, at this point right now, a debate over who's the second best player of all time, be it Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or LeBron James, is almost impossible to have. I personally do not think Kobe Bryant is the second best player of all time. I think LeBron has a better case than Kobe does. And I think Kareem is incredibly disrespected in this entire conversation. But right now, Kobe has reached deified status, and it's almost as though we cannot have that debate. I would say that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar deserves more respect on his name as history looks back on all these legacies. But what I'm more interested in is what Charles Barkley had to say about Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan, like Kobe Bryant, won 5 titles in his time. But Tim Duncan is, and I suspect will be, as the history books are written, one of the most overlooked, underappreciated players of our time. Tim Duncan, I believe, is the greatest power forward of all time. Now, he's not the only power forward that was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Kevin Garnett was as well. And if I'm giving you my best power forwards of all time, my top 5 list, they both would make the list. But they would be on opposite ends of the spectrum. In fact, I'd lay it out like this right here. At number 5 among best power forwards of all time, Kevin Garnett. Peter Burns, a host of Best Week Ever, talked about KG. And while he might not be the best, he might deserve another adjective when talking about his contribution to basketball.
Garnett changed the game because Garnett was one of the first big men to actually play that it wasn't post-up basketball. It wasn't Dream Shake with Olajuwon, and it wasn't, you know, back to the basket basketball like Patrick Ewing. He was a guy that could go 20-10-5, and all of a sudden people looked at big men being different, right? It's been the next Dirk Nowitzki. It's been the next Kevin Durant, guys that could do things different. But here's the most important thing. He was the first player in 20 years to go straight from high school to the NBA, and it worked. All of a sudden, then, teams took risks. Kevin Garnett, he's the guy that actually changed the game and the most influential member of this whole Hall of Fame class.
I think Kevin Garnett did two things, but not one thing that Peter Burns laid out. He did introduce the NBA to the idea of the more skilled big man, not just the brute, not just back him down and bang, a shot off the backboard. Kevin Garnett also obviously changed the way you drafted players in the NBA. Not always for the better, for what it's worth. Always in search of a high school player. Always in search of upside. Always in search of the next big thing. It's certainly true that the NBA chased the next Kevin Garnett. But I don't think he's the most influential player. He's good enough to land at number 5. But I will tell you that my favorite team, the Dallas Mavericks, did play those Minnesota Timberwolves for years. And the truth is, Kevin Garnett did not propel them as the centerpiece over other teams, deep into playoff runs. Kevin Garnett was great, and he was the emotional fire, the engine on that Boston Celtics championship. But he didn't do enough, in my mind, to surpass the next four individuals. At number 4, it's the guy we heard from first. It's Charles Barkley. Andy Bailey, who writes at Bleacher Report, had a fascinating list of best power forwards some 9 months ago, and he said, for as much as Chuck hates analytics, for as much as he hates nerds buried in numbers, they actually support him. I don't know if it's real plus minus, box plus minus, or I don't know which advanced analytic it is, but they all favor Chuck. He's absolutely amazing, and he took the Suns to the championship, and he was really the only thing keeping Chuck from a ring was the greatest player of all time, was Michael Jordan. Charles Barkley lands at number 4. At number 3 is someone that I think was actually more influential than Kevin Garnett. It is Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki sent the league searching for not just the next high schooler, but the next international player. Everyone from outside the United States benefited from Dirk Nowitzki's greatness, from Dragan Bender to you name your Darko Milicic. Dirk Nowitzki took whatever concept that Kevin Garnett injected in terms of skill and put it on rocket boosters. And he carried the Mavericks to 2 different NBA title championship games series and won 1. Dirk Nowitzki never had the running mate that my number 2 power forward of all time did. He did most of it by himself, and that lands him at number 3. But number 2 had a Hall of Famer running beside him. He had John Stockton. And I have Karl Malone as the 2nd best power forward of all time. I believe he averaged 20 points for, I think it was 17 straight seasons. He took the Jazz to 2 titles, and just like Barkley, the only reason he didn't have a ring is because of the presence of Michael Jordan. Karl Malone lands at number 2. And my best power forward of all time is the other man inducted besides Kevin Garnett into this Basketball Hall of Fame class. It is Tim Duncan. Year in, year out. Playoffs. Every 3rd or 4th year, championship. Ego, willing to take a back seat when it was needed. The big fundamental, silent, but always there, both him and his team. 5-time champion Tim Duncan is the greatest power forward of all time. That's my opening take, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. President Donald Trump spoke this weekend about when we get sports back. He's very optimistic. He spoke specifically about football, and he had a conference call with all of the big leagues in the United States of America and their commissioners. And he told them we need to get back to normal, and sports will be a big part of it. And he thinks August or perhaps September will mean football. I'll play sound for you from Donald Trump coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, plus the all-decade team in the NFL. It's The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud. then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to GEICO.com today.
People crave some normalcy. People crave something other than the reality that we're living in.
President Trump believes the NFL season should start on time in September. That's great that he thinks that, and it's great that he wants that. We all want that. The truth is that practical and real?
We all understand that there are a lot of hurdles to climb.
If there's progress in the next month or two and things are safer, then how do we ensure the safety of the players if we are going to get them together?
Drew Brees did not make the NFL's all-decade team. Who did? And did we get it right? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We did our homework. We watched our nominations for Best Lawyer Movie of All Time. Somebody is going to get last. We vote on that in about 30 minutes and what punishment could be in store for them. Will it be Pat? Again. Will it be Bubba? Mike A? Nuno? Our Supreme Leader? Or will it be myself? We'll find out coming up in about 30 minutes. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Over the weekend, President Donald Trump met on a conference call with all of our country's commissioners from the biggest sports leagues, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, MLS, and more. And he expressed the interest in getting sports back. And he expressed optimism about football being back in August and September. Here's President Donald Trump.
We have to open our country again. We don't want to be doing this for months and months and months. We're going to open our country again. This country wasn't meant for this. Few were. But we have to open our country again. They want to get back. They got to get back. They can't do this. The sports weren't designed for it. The whole concept of our nation wasn't designed for it. We're going to have to get back. We want to get back soon, very soon.
No, this country was built on the concept of industriousness. And even if it's the right thing to do right now, it is the antithesis of the American way. I'm not telling you it's wrong. I'm telling you it's right. But I'm telling you that we are also built to work. That's what America was about. Making something from nothing. And we're going to have to do that once again. But I have several thoughts on the idea of sports coming back in the fall, coming back full bore. First, can you imagine the schedule? Number one, let's look at that schedule. It would be absolutely fascinating if we somehow, in the middle of the summer and towards the tail end of August, flip a switch and get everything back. College football kicks off in late August. NFL kicks off the second week in September. In November, you've got the Masters where it's been rescheduled. You've got other golf tournaments in September and October. You've got, I don't know what's left for the tennis schedule. I believe Wimbledon's now canceled, and I don't think the French is coming back. And I don't know about the U.S. Open in late August, but can you imagine everything from the spring that's been pushed into the fall, perhaps even the NBA? You would have an event, forget the weekends, every other day. You will have something that we are watching and being a part of, and it would be a sports smorgasbord. But will we just be watching it on television? That brings me to thought number two. What kind of choices will you make? What kind of choices will you make? I've talked to several buddies over the last couple of days. They're like, I'm not going in person. I'm not taking my kids. Mike A takes an annual football trip every November. He told me it's almost off, almost certainly off. The one thing we don't factor into this is our individual choices. What will we choose to do? Will we choose to attend these things in person? Forget government regulations. Forget whether or not business is up and running, and forget whether or not it's all open. Will we choose to be customers again for ourselves? Mo, by the way, is on our phone lines, and he's from Maine, and he's a little skeptical. What's up, Mo?
Well, you just kind of took the words out of my mouth, Will. Thank you for taking my phone call. And I don't want to take your whole show, but a couple. Do you want to hear a quick personal thing from me? Are you willing?
Of course. Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to oversimplify this thing. There are two mains. Okay. One is Bangor, and we're 4 hours away from Boston. So a lot of people up here do not go to Boston for pro sports. They hang out at the University of Maine. We're a small Division I school. Horrible travel expenses, you know, hockey, basketball. Our nearest game is in New Hampshire, you know, which is, you know. But anyway, I guess what has not been brought up, I listen to a lot of sports radio because, I had been driving a lot. I'm in school sales, but schools ain't open. I ain't selling, but I'm being paid not to sell. And this is crazy. But anyway, but all these sports get going at the same time. In the fall, people are going to have to pick and choose, and disposable income, you're going to go to a Red Sox game and pay crazy prices for hot dogs and beers, or you're going to stay home and catch up on your credit card bill. That's number one. And then number two, there's no way, I just don't see it happening, all these sports can drift into August and September. So,
well, I appreciate the call, Mo. I appreciate the insight into your personal life as well. I wish you luck both with your health and with your finances. And I think you bring up an interesting point. I was only talking about it from a public health perspective. Will you choose to congregate in large gatherings with other people? Will you choose to attend sporting events? Will you take on that risk? And the answer may be yes. But then there's the next bridge we have to cross, which is what about the economic crisis that we are most certainly not only entering but already living in? What are we going to do? Will we have the disposable income to buy tickets? Will we have the disposable income to have cable subscriptions? There's going to be some really tough choices, and it's hard to imagine we just flip a switch, but it's possible. It's possible. That we look back on this, I guess, and it's like a bad dream. I mean, it's a bad dream we couldn't imagine getting into. Could it be a bad dream we can't imagine looking back on? It's possible. But it's more likely that the fall is not a flipped switch with a sports smorgasbord. Maybe it comes back in the fall. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't fully go away in the summer. I don't know. I can tell you this. I am absolutely full of humility and uncertainty. And I don't really understand those that feel the opposite, who are full of uncertainty. Or rather full of certainty. I just don't know. I don't know if it will be an awesome new world full of sports that all of a sudden we look back on this spring and can't imagine that's what happened with life, or it is a continuation of this life. Myron Metcalf, ESPN college basketball reporter, is more pessimistic. Listen.
Well, I mean, I think everyone, it seems, wants to be hopeful at this juncture. And I think in an ideal world, football would start on time, college football, NBA would come back. But I don't see the path to that. And I think that, to me, is the thing that everyone's wrestling with is I think you have a lot of power brokers who feel like they have the power to move forward. But until we get the green light to put people in stadiums and to get things back rolling again, I'm not sure how it happens. And it just feels like we're on two different paths where you've got obviously hopeful leaders who want to get things going again. But the reality, it feels like, with everything we've seen just in the last month, it's hard for me to look forward and think that everything will be normal this fall.
You know, one of the concepts, I think I've talked about it with you, that I'd believe strongly in, is humility. And I know that's funny coming from a guy who has big opinions on who the best quarterback is or whether or not Dak Prescott is elite or whether or not Kevin Durant's better than LeBron James. But I'd like to think I am somebody who can appreciate the idea of humility and knowing what I don't know. I've gotten myself incredibly into hot water just by saying that about, for example, the climate. How would I know how this is going to play out? How does anybody know how a virus affecting thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that we've never seen before is going to play out? Does it mutate? Does it get better? Does it get worse? What's the fall like? Do we have society back and it's been a bad dream? Or is it some new normal we have to deal with? I am full of uncertainty. I'm full of humility. I don't know. All we can do is hope. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. I see my phone lines are lit up, and it's interesting. Some of you want to go to games, will be at games. Others say, not a chance. I want to hear from you. Plus, the NFL's All-Decade team is out. From 2010 to 2019, the best players in the NFL. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Your two quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, who did not make it. A guy I once said was a second-tier, all-time quarterback. Drew Brees. I believe I was just proven right. Let's run that by our buddy Dan Orlovsky next in the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
I got a dad joke about hummus for you.
Let me hear it.
My ex-girlfriend tried to steal my hummus once.
Yeah?
I told that chick peace.
All right. Thank you for ruining the program as we have known it. That's Dan. That's Swagoo. We're busy all morning long.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. And that is a dad joke by our buddy Dan Orlovsky this morning on Get Up. And let's welcome him into the door and onto the program. What's up, Dan?
How are you, good sir?
Do you think Marcus was laughing at your joke or at Greeny saying you've ruined the program?
Oh, 100% Greeny saying that I ruined the program, for sure.
So I was watching live. And I thought he was laughing at your joke. I thought it took him a minute, because I'm not going to lie to you, it took me a minute. I told that chick peas. Took me a second to go, chickpeas. And I'm going to tell you something here, okay? It's going to be very unpopular. It's going to be very unpopular in my current surroundings. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to take your compliment and throw a dig at you and say I'm not surprised that it took you some time to catch on intellectually. But that being said, listen, Greeny goes, hey, guys, we're going to lead into the next hour talking about hummus. Danny, you love hummus? And I'm like, sure. What am I going to say about hummus? So I said, listen, I'm going to try and make somebody laugh here, whether I got to be corny or not. So that's why I threw it out there.
Nuno, Bubba, this is your chance. You hated it. You can tell them about it. I'm telling you, my job is to tell the truth. I giggled a little bit.
I was fine with it. I agree that I think Marcus thought it was funny. I think it took him a second, and then I think he really liked it. I think he liked it. I was fine with it. I don't know. Nuno just walked back in. I don't know. Did you like it, Nuno?
You hated the joke, Nuno.
I got it right away, and I'm like, all right. Like, but I don't expect anything else from Dan. Like, I don't – like, that's his lane.
Wow.
He stays in his lane. No offense. He stays in his lane.
Wow. Nuno, thanks for walking back in. If I ever need somebody as a confidence booster, make sure I send you a text, bub.
Well, you deserve that after me taking up for your dad joke and then you insulting my intelligence that it took me a minute to put chickpeas together. Dan, you reap what you sow on the karma here. Dan Orlovsky here on the Will Cain Show. The NFL put out its all-decade team. And what's remarkable to me is that there wasn't anything that remarkable. I would love to poke holes in it and tell them what they got wrong, but this is what I thought, Dan. Let's focus on quarterback for a moment. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were the two quarterbacks on the NFL's all-decade team, 2010 to 2019. I guess the notable omission would be Drew Brees, but I can't make a case for Drew Brees over either of those guys. And to me, be honest, I feel somewhat vindicated because I was the guy, and maybe at a time when nobody wanted to hear it, but said Drew Brees is a second-tier all-time quarterback, not of his time, but all-time, meaning when the book is written, he will not be a top five all-timer. He'll be a 5 to 12 all-timer. And I think that's true and proven here.
No, I agree with you on your first statement that, listen, you can make the case for Brees to be on there. I wish they would have put him in as a running back or something, strictly so his name is on there. But to take 12 off, 12 being Aaron Rodgers 12, would be difficult. That being said, you know, statistically, I would imagine that Drew Brees is better over the course of time. I think that Aaron Rodgers probably has a more impressive singular season. They both have their Super Bowl championship. So I think that that whatever side of the fence you want to stand on with this, I can't sit here and make a strong claim argument-wise that that person is wrong.
Yeah, and Breeze's Super Bowl came pre-2010, so technically before this decade was tallying the measurements, while Rodgers came after. So Rodgers counts, Breeze doesn't.
That's the disclaimer that matters then. Yeah, like I would agree that Rodgers won his Super Bowl in this decade, then he wins. He takes it.
Did you see Dan Orlovsky here on the Will Cain Show? Any other great admissions? I'm telling you, I think what was remarkable, there wasn't anything greatly remarkable. Jason
Witten.
Give me
the wide receivers.
Let me tell you, the wide receivers right here are Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, and Julio Jones. Those are your four wide receivers. And I guess if you're looking for somebody who didn't make the list, it would be A.J. Green, Dez Bryant. But I can't argue either of those guys over these four.
No, you can't put those guys in there. Trying to think over this last decade. No, I mean, those are your four that absolutely stand out. Those have been the four most dominant. DeAndre Hopkins is still too young to be thrown into that conversation. So those I don't have, you know, maybe Jordy Nelson. I would think about putting Jordy Nelson into that conversation.
And then tight end is another one that people looked at because Jason Witten didn't make it. He's one of the greats of all time, and he's not in ahead of, obviously, Rob Gronkowski, but also Travis Kelce. And I don't have Kelce's stats in front of me right here on when his run began. When was Travis Kelce's rookie year, Nuno? Can you look that up? But I would even, as a Dallas Cowboy homer, submit
14.
That it's 14. That Witten doesn't go in over these two guys.
Yeah, gosh, Witten. You know, I think that part of that voting is kind of because of the era of football that we're in right now. I'd be hard pressed to leave Jason Witten off that. Because if we're going to put Gronk on that and we're going to say, well, Gronk was so dominant on both sides or both aspects of playing tight end, both as a pass catcher and a run blocker, then the guy who did that just, you know, kind of underneath him in both those regards would have been Jason Witten over the last decade. And so, because if we're going to put Kelce in there, I would love to see why Antonio Gates isn't in there over this last decade. So I would have some strong arguments for the tight end game.
Yeah, I'm looking at Kelce's stats. They really picked up there in the last 3 or 4 years of his career, starting in 2016, his first 3 years, which he started in 2013, it was 800 yards. It was 800 yards. He really became the guy we know of over the last 3 to 4 years. Witten will be that guy that's always sort of seen as an A minus B plus, but that over, I don't know, what is it ended up being, 15 years of his career. He'll never have the highs of a single season like Gronk or Kelce, but he just kept doing it year in and year out. That's an easy thing to underappreciate.
Yeah, and I wonder if their lack of team success hurt him as well. I mean, they never got it done.
It's really not about Jason Witten at this point. You're just doing that. You're just saying that.
Yeah, just make sure I throw as many daggers as I can at you.
Gosh. Teach me to ever compliment even something as sketchy as a dad joke from you. Last question with Dan Orlovsky here on the Will Cain Show. I think I have believed this. You and I have talked about it. The concept of quarterback inflation. Every single quarterback in the first round will go up. They'll get drafted above the status that we think of. However, do you think, Dan, there's any chance that Tua Tagovailoa actually slides against all expectations? That with his injury history, that we end up looking at a thing where perhaps the Dolphins, perhaps the Chargers pass on Tua and he drops out of the top 10?
No, and I'm really passionate about this because everyone, like, we're talking about Tua Tagovailoa in absolutes and everybody with optimism. Like, I feel most people have already written Tua Tagovailoa is going to get hurt and he's probably not going to be as good as he was in Alabama. But then we'll talk about Justin Herbert and be like, well, he's going to never get hurt, and he's going to be way better than he was ever at Oregon. Or Jordan Love, he's going to stay healthy, and he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. Like, we talk about absolutes in failure and absolutes in success, in contrary to Tua and everybody else. And I get frustrated with that. And I kind of said this morning, like, everyone continues to point to it being risky. It's only a risk if you don't know what you're doing. And I said this. Tua's going to get drafted somewhere. And what's more important from where Tua gets drafted is what happens when you draft him. And if you know what you're doing,
you don't play him this year because that's what's best for Tua. And if you know what you're doing, you put good coaches around him and you figure out what he's good at and you build an offensive line and you don't rush him onto the field right now and you put skill around him. And so it's only risky if you don't know what you're doing, because the reality is this. If someone takes Tua 3 or 4, you're looking at like $32 or $33 million guaranteed money. This offseason alone, we just paid Kirk Cousins $66 million guaranteed and Ryan Tannehill $91 million guaranteed. And last offseason or two offseasons ago, Jimmy Garoppolo got $75 million guaranteed. So what's really riskier, paying Tannehill $91 million guaranteed or Tua $33? And that's like I'm kind of getting tired of everybody caveating everything with Tua's going to get hurt or he's going to fit. We don't know. And it's just as risky to pick another position or another player.
I agree with your conclusion. I disagreed with your analysis. And I heard you say that this morning. I would just push back this small bit. Risks are not just the product of not knowing what you're doing. There are known risks as well. You can knowingly take a calculated risk. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can realize there's a 60% chance it goes this way, a 40% chance it goes that way. Risk tolerance is the ability to deal with that. It's not just being ignorant of it. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, yes. But the reality is, Tua, the ankles are no longer going, like, we could pretend that they never happened. And I know there's people out there going, you can't do that, Dan. But the reality is, from everything that we've heard medically, those ankles will not suffer injury again. So unless they get broken. Like, but they're not going to be a high ankle sprain anything anymore because they're actually stronger now. So, like, we're only talking about Tua in the understanding or umbrella that, like, yes, he is going to get hurt. So is it worth taking him where you're going to take him? Because you have to anticipate him getting hurt. Well, you can anticipate other guys getting hurt as well. Like, whether right. the likelihood or this and that. Like I said this, Tua's not going to take the hits in the NFL level that he did in college. Because the NFL quarterbacks are protected way more they are in the NFL than they are in college. And defensive players are way more aware of hitting quarterbacks in the NFL than they are in college football. So I maybe I'm wrong and I'll regret these words. I don't know. But, like, I'm kind of over everyone caveating everything with Tua's injury.
I got you. All right, man. It's Dan Orlovsky and his dad jokes here on the Will Cain Show. Take care, bud.
Hey, you own New Balance, right? Sneakers, right? In cargo shorts?
Neither one.
Dork. Yeah, you're probably wearing them now. Later, dude.
Get out of here, chickpeas. The Will Cain Show is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. All right, who nominated the worst lawyer movie? I got to be honest with you. I think I could be in the crosshairs. That's next on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
It's fair to say there was yelling during the commercial break. Wasn't it me? Thank goodness. It was a Pat. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Pat, you just wanted to get it all out during the commercial break? Couldn't wait 5 seconds for the show to start airing on your hot takes on the worst lawyer movies? Just had to go right away, Pat.
I didn't say anything. I just said I watched one of the movies today. That's all I said, and everyone lost their mind.
No, Bubba? Was that all he said, Bubba?
You didn't even let me finish my
sentence. Well, we got to him and stopped him, but then he kept trying to add in more about how it was a bad movie to watch on a Monday morning, and
everyone in unison yelled, save it for air. It was ugly. It was ugly. We're going to get to it in just a moment. Which was the worst lawyer movie? The worst. Who got last place? Coming up in just a moment. But first, I want to hear from Dylan in Oklahoma. Dylan, you say you're going to games. Fall, if we flip the switch, you're back. You and your family are at what? OU games come fall?
You can't miss OU games, but I would love to go watch Baker Mayfield go down to Dallas. Cowboy fan, Baker Mayfield fan, can't miss that game.
So you're not scared of it, either for your health or for your pocketbook come fall, you're good to go to get back into the stadiums.
I'm not one who stresses about this stuff too much. It doesn't really bother me.
All right, Dylan, I appreciate the call. On the opposite side, down in Dallas, Karen says she's not going. What's up, Karen?
No, because they say it's seasonal and it'll probably be back in the fall, and I'm a transplant patient. I'm not getting out in this crap.
No stadium for you. See, that's the thing. I appreciate the call, both Karen and Dylan. I think a lot of people are going to be making the same kind of choice that Karen's. Here's the thing. I don't know how many it takes before you have a situation where we don't call it back to normal. Or maybe everybody does want to get in. There's regulations. Can you imagine a lotto to get into the games? Like, we're all going to have to sit two rows apart and 10 seats apart. And so you're just staggered throughout the stadium and you got to get a lottery to get people through the gate. I don't know. I just think people are going to. I think that normal is very optimistic come the fall. All right, we talked about what's the best lawyer movie of all time. Here are the nominations. I nominated Devil's Advocate. Nuno, Lincoln Lawyer. Mike A, My Cousin Vinny. Bubba, A Few Good Men. And Pat, To Kill a Mockingbird. We did our homework over the weekend, and it's time to nominate the worst. Who got last place? And we need to have punishment. We're going to have to bleed this over, but Bubba, I'm going to give you the floor because it sounds like you have a lot to say today.
Well, I think we just need to make a mandate with this whole Pat situation here.
He's become a situation.
Because
here we go.
My issue, honestly, it's not that Pat's movies are bad. It's just that they're from 50 years ago, and we just can't keep watching movies from the 50s. I was talking to my uncle 30. On the phone about this, and my mom had told him we were doing this. The first thing he says, he's like 67. He's like, "Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird." I'm like, "Yeah, it's been suggested."
Well, God forbid I bring some culture.
It's the same thing as people who are like, "Oh, the best football player ever, Sammy Baugh, Otto Graham." It's or George Mikan is the greatest basketball player. Those are classics. They're in their own category. We can't be doing it. 1 minute. We can't be doing it at. They. We just can't be watching movies from 2000s.
Wait, but Bubba, if you agree that they're very good, why can't they be included in the competition?
I mean, because they're not.
You're comparing apples to apples?
I don't even know if I can.
No, you're not. You're comparing apples to apples.
I just can't keep watching them. I mean, I had watched it in high school. I read the book. I don't even know if I consider it a lawyer movie, to be honest with you. If you want to tell me it's one of the best movies from the 60s, 30 seconds, one of the best, race relations movies, one of the best Gregory Peck movies, I'll give you that. Robert Duvall's first appearance. But, it's just, again, we just can't keep doing movies
It's basically that
my uncle's going to suggest, just because okay. He also says George Mikan was the best player he's ever seen.
Okay, I got it. His basic point is we can't keep doing this. Well, we're going to have to nominate somebody for last place and institute a punishment. Next on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.